وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're continuing with our fifth episode today, and this particular one, we're going to be talking about Surah Al-Hijr. This particular surah, again, one of the longer, earlier surahs revealed in the Meccan period. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in these, and we're just covering the last 15 ayat. Please note that when we read books of seerah, we get this impression that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he got on to the mountain of Safa and he proclaimed wa sabaha, that's when he went public. That's something of a misunderstanding, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never really kept his call or his prophethood secret. He was telling people about it. He was going person to person, as it is. He wasn't trying to hide it. It's just that that proclamation on the mountain was a very open call, a very public call. It wasn't secret, but yes, it was person to person. It wasn't announced as such in front of a huge gathering of people, but it was never secret. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the time that he received Iqra in the cave to the mountain of Safa, where he proclaimed wa sabaha and then addressed all the people of Quraysh and Mecca, until that time he is continuing to deliver the message, to talk to people of his family, in his friends, one-to-one, introducing them to the experience that he's had and the implications of that experience. So he is sharing it, which is why the criticism, the mockery, has already begun. And it is in the background of that mockery that these ayat, the ayat that we're going to speak about today, which is ayat 85 all the way to the end of Surah Al-Hijr, is what we're discussing. Again, these are earlier Meccan surahs, so they're very fast-paced, short ayat, very rhythmic, very fast rhythm, and they're addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's initial concerns. So the ayah begins, or the 85th ayah reads, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إلا بالحق. We did not create the heavens and the earth, including all that is in between them, except with a purpose, except with a truth. It is a meaningful creation. The experience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his message, his proclamation, makes sense only with the meaningfulness of the creation of heaven and the earth and the human being taken into consideration. If the meaningfulness is left out, if there is any belief that renders the understanding or renders the creation meaningless, renders the existence of human beings meaningless, none of this adds up. None of this makes sense. If the understanding is fatalistic, if the understanding is something to the effect of how human beings are puppets and nothing more, that renders it meaningless. You won't be able to make sense of prophethood. You won't be able to make sense of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is doing. Akhirah will not make sense. Afterlife will not make sense. The meaningfulness of creation, of human endeavors, is critical for the understanding, to understand how consistent the belief in prophethood, afterlife, tawheed really are. And so that's what the address begins with. This is the meaningfulness of creation, the burden of which you're facing right now, or you're having to confront right now. وَإِنَّ السَّاعَةَ لَآتِيَةٌ. And for sure the hour is going to come. The day of judgment is going to come. فَاسْفَحِ السَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ. So forgive, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a gracious forgiveness. Let it go. Turn the other page. Turn away. They are being cruel. They are mocking. They are not leaving any stone unturned in hurting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rasulullah is being told that this is what was going to happen. These are people leading meaningless lives for the most part. And the meaninglessness of their lives is being challenged. They're being asked to live more responsibly, take their actions more seriously, take their positions, their wealth, their authority, everything in their lives more responsibly, more seriously, more meaningfully. And when you make that call to them, they're going to lash back at you. And everything that is supporting their agendas of leading life as it comes with its pleasures and exploitations and whatnot, anything that challenges that, they're definitely going to oppose it. So, Ya Rasulullah, the hour is going to come. Forgive of gracious forgiveness. Give them time. Give them time. It is only the beginning. It is too early to expect them to immediately respond. These habits that they have, they're pretty much hardwired into them. For now, forgiveness is critical. And why would the Quran ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to forgive? Because the reaction, the natural reaction that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would feel towards the mockery would be an instigation. How could they say this? I'm bringing them the message of Allah. There is this natural tendency to say something in response, to fight with them, to say, how dare you say that? And which is why the reminder, no, forgive. That reminder becomes necessary only when there is this tendency to not forgive, a reactionary tendency. That's unfair what they just said. The accusations that they're hurling. No. فَاسْفَحِ السَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ A gracious forgiveness. Not just, I forgive you. No. A gracious forgiveness. An understanding forgiveness. A beautiful forgiveness. A sort of forgiveness which empathizes with the other person's anger. Which empathizes with the other person's ignorance. That I am forgiving you because I understand that this is not that easy to wrap your head around. This is not that easy to accept. It is groundbreaking. It is very difficult to have something that you've lived by your entire life, to have that challenged. It isn't easy. So a gracious forgiveness, a beautiful forgiveness. Inna rabbaka huwa al-khallaqul alim. Most definitely your Rabb is the only one who's all creative, all knowing. You cannot expect the level of knowledge from them. They're people of ignorance, pretty much. And for them to respond to what you're bringing to them that immediately, no. Forgive them, let them go. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِ وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ As for you, we have given you seven of the oft-repeated verses, the ayats that are repeated again and again, وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ And the great Quran. So what's going on here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, he was Sadiq al-Amin, the most truthful, the most trustworthy. That was the reputation that he had in Mecca. Everyone trusted him. Everyone believed in him prior to prophethood. His understanding, his reputation was point blank, it was across the board, unquestioned. There was not a single stain, not a single mark on his credibility, on his reliability. When there was the issue with the Kaaba, it had to be rebuilt. And then when it was rebuilt, the question came, which tribe gets to place the black stone? Who gets the sacred honor? A fight was breaking out. It had broken out. And there was fear of bloodshed. And it was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's credibility that not only the people of his own tribe, but all the other tribes accepted him as judge. That he's not going to be biased. Everybody else is going to be biased. Everybody else is going to be unjust. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's credibility was such that everyone accepted him. To go from that to being called a kadhab, not just a liar, but the biggest liar, a fraud. To go from having the reputation of being the most reliable to having the reputation of the most unreliable. To having your sanity questioned. You're not doing all right. People would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Utbah came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, my son, you know, like as an elder, I know some very good healers. I know some very good, people who deal with this, whatever you're suffering with. I can take you to them. They can help you. Come with me. You don't have to suffer through this. It's difficult what you're going through. Let me help you. Others would straight out be blunt and derogatory, just looking to offend him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has to face all of that. Our sense with respect to him is that he took it in his stride. It did not affect him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a robot. When he himself had trouble after the first experience, and it took an incredible amount of internal effort to have faith in the experience that he'd had to come to terms with his prophethood. Whatever you held on to for 40 years in your life, that ground was just swept away from underneath your feet. That's what happened with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not expect to become a prophet, but he became one. And once he became one and he overcame and he had faith and he had trust in Allah's word, in his own prophethood, and he went ahead to proclaim that before the people, everything started backfiring. He's being accused. He's being ridiculed. He's being mocked. He's not used to being mocked. He's not used to any of that. He's used to a very good reputation. To being praised, to have that, to trust Allah, to have that faith, to you immediately expect, okay, I'm doing Allah's work. He's given it to me now. I should start getting good responses. I should start seeing the fruits of the faith immediately. I should start seeing changes now. It was that the angst for a positive change that had taken him to the cave to ask for guidance to begin with. And when the guidance came, as overwhelming as it was, he trusted it, he had faith in it, and he lived in accordance with it. But the immediate responses that he got after he's just believed in it are very, very hurtful. They're again pushing him to renounce whatever it is that he's believing in. So he's deeply grieved. He is saddened. And it is in that background that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is told, this is why we have given you those seven ayat, those seven verses that you are required to repeat again and again and again and again and again. That is your affirmation. That is your reflection, your those ayat in Fatiha. So right around this time, Surat Fatiha has been revealed before these ayat. And it is in Surat Fatiha that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets to reiterate before himself the why of what he's doing. So he knows the how of coping with it, of dealing with all the torture, the verbal assaults. Eventually they will turn into physical assaults, a lot against the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some against Rasulullah himself. What is his handhold to continue going? It is Fatiha. When you do believe, when you experience that spirituality, that spiritual conversion that religious experience and you commit yourself to it, you have some grand expectations as to how things would be and how people are going to be. When to the contrary, the response that you get is one of hate and incredible pain, it does shake you up. Not only does it emotionally hurt, spiritually you're shaken up. You start experiencing questions again. Where am I going wrong? What is wrong with these people? Did I make the right call? Should I continue on this? To maintain that stability, Fatiha is prescribed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a continuous reflection, as a form of prayer, the prayer actually, that allows for him to ground himself. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. A reminder to himself repeatedly, again and again and again and again, of the gratitude that he owes to Allah, of how everything good that he's experienced, everything positive, the gratitude for that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How that imposes upon the one who is grateful a responsibility to live gratefully. And how this is a part of the Rabbil Alameen, of how Allah is Rabb of all the worlds, of everything that exists, of everything that he's created. And it is his rububiyyah that you are carrying forward as his abd. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the incredible mercy of Allah. Because when you're faced with toxicity, when you're faced with the hate of people, to remind yourself of the mercy of Allah in the face of that, so that you can be merciful, so that you can stand the ground of being merciful repeatedly, even though you don't want to be. Remembering the mercy of Allah. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din. To remember that it culminates, that there is a deadline for this activity, this in this world, and that it culminates with Akhirah, with the Day of Judgment, where it all comes together. It's something grand, it's something huge, where the consequences will really materialize. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. To continuously remind yourself to have this communication with Allah, to tell Him, yes, you are the only one that I am going to lovingly commit myself to in obedience. This journey of love, why am I doing it? Why am I suffering it? Because I love Him, because it's worth it. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And to Him I continuously turn to for help. Making my best effort in turning to Him for help. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. To recognize that you are in constant need of guidance. To say that you're in constant need of guidance is to say to Allah that I am open and I am willing for my belief structures to acknowledge their naivety, to acknowledge their weakness, to acknowledge that there is improvement that is necessary in them. That I don't understand completely, that I don't know everything, that I don't have the perfect faith or belief, that I need to continue to refine it, revise it, improve it, mature it. It is an evolving process, this process of faith. It's a journey. To ask Allah for guidance is to tell Him that, yes, I am willing and I am open, that when you do guide me, when you do inform me, when you do teach me, I am willing to take on that pain, because learning is a pain. Being guided is painful, because what being guided means is every bit of guidance, every experience of guidance asks you to let go of, to shed your skin to whatever you thought was guidance before. And that's not easy. It is very painful. It requires a lot of humility. And a lot of times we get stuck in life because there is so much inexperience in knowledge that is trying to teach us, to guide us, Allah guiding us, but us refusing that guidance. Because as immature, as naive, as weak, as dysfunctional as our previous understanding is, it's our comfort zone. And when things are happening to the contrary of that understanding, we're being asked to upgrade our understanding and belief. We're being asked to move out of our comfort zone. And it's difficult. So putting ourselves before Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asking for guidance when he got to Hira, to the cave, asking for guidance from Allah. What does this all mean? What am I supposed to do? What is Tawheed? What is this world? What are these people? I don't like it. How do I make it better? He's asking for guidance. He gets the guidance in the form of Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. He's petrified, horrified, insecure, doubtful, really grieving, really sad, really anxious. What do I do now? The implications of that guidance. So every time you're putting yourself before Allah in your prayer, asking اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, you're showing your willingness to be changed yourself, to be molded. And that's asking a lot. That is asking a lot. And that is one of the basic prerequisites for growth. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِّنَ الْمَثَانِ وَالْقُرْآنَ الْعَظِيمِ. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, these ayat, these seven ayat of Fatiha are the sab'an min al-mathani, the seven oft-repeated ayat, and they are the great Qur'an. The Qur'an al-azim is also an appellation for Surah al-Fatiha. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Guide me to the path of those who you had your special blessing, special favor upon. So there are people before who did this. Because understand, whenever it is that you catch yourself in the midst of trying to do something good, every input that you get, every stimulus that you get from the environment, from the society, is one inspiring hopelessness. The response of the people, their attitude, their arrogance, their mockery, the results that you're not getting, all of it. You look at how dead the world is, how chaotic things are. You lose hope. You feel very, very helpless. But to turn to Allah and asking for the way of those who were an'amta alayhim, Allah had favored, is to ask for those, ask for the path of those people who, in spite of all of those pains and difficulties and the contrary results that they were getting, whatever it was that they were facing, all the messages of hopelessness that they were bombarded with, they held on to hope. They held on to hope to the point of being ridiculed as being deluded, that you people are idiots, you people are stupid, you people have lost your minds because you really think that anything can change for the better. But they hung on to it. And Fatiha is a means of hanging on to it, of hanging on to that hope against hope in the face of hopelessness, when it's really bleak and dark. And you don't think you know, You don't think you can get out of it, or there's any way out of it at all. It guides you, it reminds you of those people who held on to hope as a matter of faith, even though everything around them pointed to the direction of hopelessness, and then they actually created hope. They actually made, they lit that darkness up themselves. Those were the an'amta alayhim. They are the the reason that the darkness was dispelled time and time again within the history of humanity. So if you find yourself in the midst of darkness and hopelessness, how people before hung on to that hope in the pits of darknesses themselves, and they lit their candles, how they dispelled that darkness, everyone in his own way, we're asking Allah to guide us to their path. An'amta alayhim. Ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim. Not the path of those that you who incurred your wrath. And not the path of those, well, al-dhalin, who went really astray, who went even more lost. That to recognize within yourself the potential of being lost, that this guidance, getting it once, is not the end of it. I need to continuously stay in the process to maintain this attitude, this humility, of this upgradation. Because if not, I have the very potential to be destructive rather than favored, and to be destroyed as well. To repeat that before Allah again and again and again. So Allah is putting this before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a very hurt Rasulullah, one who is in pain at what people are saying. And he says, we've given you Fatiha, and it will help you get through. Because in the face of Fatiha, Allah has given Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Fatiha. What has he given everyone else in Quraysh? Authority, power, money. And it is but natural that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is looking to all of that. If only I had a position. If only I had as many resources as these people did. Allah says, no. Do not look at the articles, these whatever we've given them, these whatever resources that these people have, some of them. And do not be grieved over them. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is looking at them for the resources that they have, and also the consequences of what they're doing with those resources. And he's hurting more. If only they listen. وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Do not be grieved for them. وَحْفِدْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And lower your wings for the believers. As few as they may be, welcome them. Open your arms to them. Depict that mercy towards them. And see what happens. You need human resource, you need spiritual resource more than anything else. That material resource that they have, don't look at that right now. Forget it. وَقُلْ إِنِّي أَنَا النَّذِيرُ مُبِينَ. And tell them, I am a clear warner. I am just a clear warner. That's my responsibility to tell you. Go here, this is the consequence. This is the harm you're going to incur. كَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَى الْمُقْتَسِمِينَ. Just as we revealed to the separators, to those before. الَّذِينَ جَعَلُوا الْقُرْآنَ عِضِينَ. Those who split the Qur'an in portions. Those who were given the revelation of Allah, but they split it up. It's not that the people before Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not have any guidance at all. They had revelation. And that revelation was good. But there is a tendency to make something incredibly good, incredibly evil, when you split it up, when you fragment it, and each group takes one portion to the exclusion of all else, and they claim that what they have is the absolute truth, but what they have is a degenerate portion because they've cut it off from its organic whole. And so what they have is an amputated, necrosing, dying something, which they are claiming is the living, the whole body, the healthy whole that everyone needs. They cut it up. فَوَرَبِّكْ. So by your Rabb, Ya Rasulullah, لَنَسْأَلَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. We will question each and every one of them. عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. About all that they used to do. فَاسْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not getting the response that he wants with a few people that he's going to. The person to person that he is taking this call to, Allah says, tell them all. Go announce it, to declare it to every. It is after this that he goes to the mountain of Safa and declares his prophethood. And it seems to be like, what? It's not working with the people that you're talking to. Tell it to everyone. Invite more pain. Invite more mockery. وأعرض عن المشركين and turn away from those who do shirk إنك فيناك بالمستهزئين. We will be enough for you يا رسول الله against those who mock you. الذين يجعلون مع الله إلها آخر. These are the people who set up gods with Allah. فسوف يعلمون. So soon they will know. ولقد نعلم. And we know يا رسول الله أنك يضيق صدرك. We know that you feel distressed. The kind of distress that is so much that you feel it physically in your chest as a knot. That your chest tightens up. You feel suffocated. You feel like you cannot breathe. You don't even have that much room. Allah is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I am not some impersonal robotic deity who doesn't care what you're going through. No, I know very well, Ya Rasulullah, I know very well, Ya Muhammad, that you're hurt, that your chest is tightening. I know it that well. I know what you're feeling inside of you. أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكُ That you feel distressed. بِمَا يَقُولُونَ Because of what they say. Neither Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم nor Allah are robots. We say this all the time. I hear it all the time. Every time in consultations, patients will come up and I don't want to feel anything. I don't want to feel so hurt. I don't want to feel so bad about what people say. So what if they say whatever they say? I need to be strong so I don't feel it. No. The best of people, the strongest of people felt it, felt hurt by it. And Allah recognizes that hurt. This is as intimate as a dialogue gets between Allah and His messenger. We know you're hurt. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ So continue to do tasbih with the hamd of your Rabb. وَكُمْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ And join those who prostrate. Your prayer. You continue to have this. Let's continue talking. Let's keep this going. That'll be the balm that you need to help you stand strong. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ And continue to do the ibadah of Allah. Keep this relationship strong with me, with your Rabb. Why are you to go through all of that pain? Because that pain is the way to grow in this relationship, which will get you closer to me. حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ Till the certainty of death approaches you. And what does it mean till this relationship grows until you get closer to me? Is that you become more and more somebody who expresses attributes of Allah Himself. Those attributes of mercy, those attributes of forgiveness, those attributes of care, those attributes of justice, those attributes of strength, those attributes of wisdom, those attributes of knowledge, those attributes of power, those attributes of resourcefulness. Growing your relationship with Allah is in growing all of these attributes. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam proved that his prayer was not auto-suggestion. Was not him just affirming himself. It was him growing in a genuine relationship so that he expressed real attributes that are only possible when you are in a real relationship with someone. You incorporate within yourself the best of what they have to offer. And so he did what he did and he became who he became. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ